Good to see everyone. Man, it's great to be back home. Good to see everyone. Well, being I wasn't here last week and we were out of town, I'm going to say like I heard on some of the messages, I'm compelled to go back and just review. Oh, man, I tell you what, this has been great. This where we're at in the chapter, right here in the life of Yosef and in our lives, man, it truly is amazing. And this week was very challenging. I'm telling you, to go on with, when we're dealing with the Isle of Tav, you know, that's a subject whole on its own. That's no small subject. That's not something that I can teach. Only He can teach you Himself. And what did He give us? He gave us His Word. He gave us 39 books about Himself. If we can't figure out what He likes and what He doesn't like in the first 39 books of what we call the Bible, we're really behind. This is why we're going through it line upon line, precept upon precept. You know, we're taking our time and we're looking at this. Hey, you know, because this is a big subject. This is talking about salvation for the entire nation, especially the whole house of Israel. There wouldn't be no house of Israel. It wouldn't be for this story right here. So this is very important. And it's been a challenge for me this week because now we're dealing with the Isle of Tyre, we're dealing with Yosef, Yah's man that he sets there. So without him, man, a lot of people are going to starve. And Yah put him in that spot. Now we're dealing with his brothers. And you know, I mean, you know that, well, when you're dealing with family, it's rough to deal with family. Because we know their background, we know their history, we know things a lot about family, especially brothers and even sisters. So we're going to see something in the scripture here that I really took my time with to look at that Yah was sharing with me. Because look, I don't know what far as having a house with brothers or sisters. I grew up, you know, different on the bayou. I didn't have any brothers and sisters I grew up with. You know, I had a father figure and mother-like figure that, you know, I always thought it was mom and dad, or actually my grandparents. But I grew up in that area, you know, it's like that. But looking at now, sitting at this, he's given me a family. He's given me brothers and sisters. Now, friends I grew up with, I mean, you know, friends and brothers and sisters, they get into mischief at times. So we see this is no perfect family. Between the oldest Reuben to the youngest Benjamin, this family was pretty messed up. They went through a lot of difficulty in their life because of not obeying. So it's no different than us today. You know, we grew up with our family. Some of us got brothers and sisters. Look, you've seen them get into mischief. You know how they can be at times. Look, right now, Benjamin is innocent out of all this. But you know, later on in his life, if you go follow Benjamin, he got into some, almost wiped out because of thing that he shouldn't have been fooling around with. Anyway, let me try to get going here. This subject here, it's kind of being like almost in two parts, but I'm going to start right here because we're dealing with Yaakov about some very bad past experience that he's in fear of. And in verse 4, I'm probably not to review too much, of Genesis 42, he said, but Yaakov did not send Yosef's brother, Benjamin, with his brother, for he said, at least some harm come to him. So he dealt with fear and past hurt. And I know in our lives we dealt with that as family. You know, we've dealt with past hurt from our moms, from our dads, from brothers. And we see this in this family right here. And it'll take the hand of Yah to bring them out of their struggles, what they're going through. Also, you're going to see that, you know, brothers are just, They something. This is really great. So I'm trying to really go slow because I want to get it all in, but I want to be calm about it because, boy, this, I feel the flame from the menorah just, it rubs you right here. Past hurt, you know, from their father. That's why they didn't send him down. So skipping on down because I know y'all read a lot up to verse 17. So we're going to pick up the story right there. And he put them in prison. Put them all together in prison for 3 days. Now y'all heard about that last week. I went back and looked at the message a couple times. I don't know about any. Oh, that's another way of saying or incarcerated. you know, whatever fits your narrative, or what we say today, in jail. Well, let me tell you something. If you've never been incarcerated or in jail, it's really hard to talk about this. Well, from past experience, trust me, I know what it feels like. Not for 3 days, just 1 day. I don't know if I could have made 3 days. But if you've never been in that area, let me tell you, it's not a comfortable place to be. You learn quick, fast, in a hurry who's in charge, that you're not an authority. And that's what we learned about this spot here last week. They missed some authority figure in their life. Now they're in that spot to where, if you were there at the Bible study the other night by Brother Rob and Sister Hill, you'd have known exactly what I was talking about when I brought up a story about, hey, go ask that lady what the holdup is in there. Yeah, okay. When you're locked up, you ain't asking nobody nothing. The only thing you're saying is yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am, and yes, sir, and no, sir. And hopefully your people's out in front to bail you out. Let me tell you. You talk about from why? From past sin, from past iniquity. You're going to touch on this. We're still dealing with also on the subject of living and dying. Remember, this is a big subject. A lot of lives are at stake. And even in today's time, there's a lot of lives at stake. You know, it's up to you and I, up to men and women. You know, we come here on a night that's programmed, has been designed by Elohim for us to be here tonight to do what? To come and learn. This is what is this. We're going to see that even in life of Yeshua. I'm going to do my best to get to him. You're rushing me. But you're going to see that on the Shabbat, he was there. So people say, I don't understand how, if you follow him, but we don't go the day he goes on. It's crazy. Now, let's get some reading going. Now, Yosef said to them the third day, do this and live, for I fear Elohim. You know, that's a reverence and a respect of the one who created us that we are in awe about. And that live, we dealt with live, it's age 24, 21, it's the word haya, having to do the life with the stomach. Remember, we covered some of these words already. If you are trustworthy, you can remember, they say, we're trustworthy. Let one of your brothers be confined to your prison house, and you go and bring grain for the scarcity of food of your houses. Remember, trustworthy was Cain. You want to see if he's trustworthy? Age 36, 51. We covered that. That's a little study on its own when you go diving into it. Brother Rob brought that out the other night. And bring your youngest brother to me, verse 20, brother to me, and let your words be confirmed, and you do not die. And so they did. And that die is age 4191 Muth. So these are some of the words we had already. But we're dealing with, we're going to get down to it right here. This is going to be the launching pad for tonight. Verse 21 and 22. And they said to each other, truly we are guilty concerning our brother. For we saw the distress of his life when he pleaded with us, yet we did not listen. Very key. This is why this distress has come upon us. And Reuben answered them, saying, did I not speak to you, saying, do not sin against the boy? And you would not listen. And see, his blood is now required of us. Now we see his oldest brother right now, that he's being a brother, but he's really almost kind of wishy-washy kind of. And we know from Reuben what he done, one thing he should have done, was mess with his father's, one of his father's wives. That was a strike against. So now he's lost the respect as the firstborn, because you can't take him, because the brothers know he ain't trustworthy. They know that, for what you even done to your father. So they're listening to him, but really not listening to him. That listen right there, you're going to see why they captured the next brother. And that would probably be for next tour portion or something like that. That they arrested, left Shimon tied up. So that's a little something for y'all to check out. But we're dealing with these brothers right here in their statement. It's because of past sin, what they've done to their brother. I mean, you know, with past sin in our lives today, it shouldn't define who we are, but it does haunt us in some areas when you go around certain people. I know it for me, it does. You know, like if I go back in my old neighborhood, they just see me as the guy that used to be here. They know I changed, but my words seem like they're not trustworthy to them. Which that's okay. I'm going to keep doing what Yah wants me to do. And then when I get a chance, when I break bread with family, I break bread with them. Whether they're going to accept it or not, but because of past history in our lives, people look at you. They'll frown at you in a different way. How do I know that? Because the scripture shows us that even in the life of Yeshua. But something I want to look at. Let's look at something that I know we all know it, but I mean, it's the word, was the number H251. Let's look at what it means to be a brother. Because of these past sins of what Reuben, he should have took his rightly rule, but because of what he done, because of past sin, it knocked him out of that contention. I guess the best I want. So the word brother is ah. So you know when we talk about family, ah. Because they're the hardest ones to deal with. Let's not kid ourselves. And we're going to see that even Yeshua dealt with this. It's ah. But it's a different word in the Greek, I can promise you. But in the Hebrew, this is what it is. H251. A primitive root, a brother, used in the widest sense of literal relationship and metaphorically affinity or resemblance like H1. Another brotherly, kindred, like, other, compare. So you can read that. A brown driver's brig, brother, brother of the same parents, half brother, same father, relative, kinship, same tribe, and a couple of others right here. But what I want to focus on is right here in the ancient Hebrew. It means to protect, and hearth, and brotherhood. Now, if Reuben was really the brother that he wanted to be back just in chapter, I wrote it down, chapter 30, let me hold on to my notes right here. I know I wrote it down. My words are, they running on me. Anyway, in chapter 37. If he really wanted to be the brother that what he's talking about, explained right here in the ancient Hebrew, he would have stood up for Yosef back then. He wouldn't allow him to be put in the boar. He would have stood up for his brother no matter what. So let's read what it is to be a brother. Protect, hearth, and brotherhood. It's the aleph. The picture of aleph represents strength. And the het is a wall. Combine these paragraphs means strong wall. Listen here, brothers. This got to deal with us. In Hebrew thought, a wall is more than a vertical barrier, but anything that separates or divides. The hearth around the fire protects the house from the heat and embers of the fire. Let me tell you, as brothers, we're going to feel some heat. I told you, this is the hot spot right here. I feel it already. Let me tell you something. Brothers together, we perform a wall. With our pastor, you remember, he's our brother. We're brothers in Christ, in Yeshua here. And we perform a wall, a barrier, for those who are in need or in the help. Look, and this ain't only for the brothers, but this is the start of it. Let's look at this hearth, a dividing wall that protects the family from the fire. Because you know the fire is coming. We have to stand as men from him. No matter where we go, no matter where we're at, you know, we do have to take time out for him. No matter, like I said, we was up in Tennessee. And came Friday night, I said, I just mentioned our little group. We were just us four. I said, hey, what are we doing about Shabbat? Let's just, no matter if we stand there 20, 30 minutes, that's our Shabbat. Because we can't forget about him. Why? Because he's our strength that we lean upon, that we need. But this wall here, this brothers, this is who we are for one another. Even here, remember one thing, I got your back. If you're with me, I'm with you. We have to be, our mouth has to be turned to him. We have to be speaking his word, because after all, he is our brother, but he's also our master. Does he offer protection for his brothers later on when we're going to read about him? He sure does. He offers a lot of protection. I mean, more than what I could ever offer. Well, you know, but as brothers, we stand together. You know, we used to play a game, Red Rover, send little Johnny right over. Look, nobody wants to stand between the strongest guys, so we look for the weakest ones. Look, together we're strong in him. Now, some of us, we probably lose our strength as we get older. So what we do, we're going to put them on the corners. No, we ain't going to do that to y'all, Pop. Because we need y'all. Yeah, y'all help make the wall, the protection. And now look, not only from the fire, because look, the fire's coming. Brother, one who stands between the enemy and the family. Wow. Not my definition. Look at it for yourself. Because why? The enemy comes. We have to stand as men and women for him. We have to perform that wall for our children. You know, our grandchildren. Because if you let the wall down, if we don't have this strong wall, if we don't stand in the time that when things are getting chaotic out there, if anybody's been paying attention, it's really getting nasty out there. What are we going to do? Didn't Nehemiah repair the wall that was breached? Look, our wall's been breached before, several times. But look, we're still here. We're still going to hold. We're still going to maintain. So this brother here, this brotherhood, that Reuben, you know, all of a sudden now he wants to be the big brother. You should have started with repentance. And you should have protected your brother when he was most vulnerable. Look at the next one. Sisters. Y'all included in this too? Y'all have to stand for one another. Look, you might not always agree on the same color or the same purse, whatever y'all carry around, but y'all sisters. You might not have been born in the same house, but y'all together. Y'all form a strong wall. We can't do it without y'all. We need y'all. This is all linked together and just in that one little in the brother. Because we read in English what it is, but you really have to sit down and see what is it really trying to tell us. To stand firm, because why? It's getting the way it's crunch time in the world. And if we don't stand together and call one another, just link up with someone and just, hey, sometimes, look, this week I didn't hardly talk to Brother Chad at all this week, because I know he was much earlier gone than by the time I would get up to go. So I didn't link up with him too much, but I linked up with Brother Ra. But it's not because I'm leaving him out. You know, but I know he's still there. We doing our thing. But look, we're still linked together as a wall. Because not tonight, we're here. And how you strengthen that wall? You showed up. Marsh grass. We all know about that. I thought that when I seen that marsh grass. How the marsh grass just forms a wall along the banks. You know, in the marshes and all. I see it all the time. I was raised by it. You know, there's a lot of nutrients out there. A lot of enemies. A lot of things that want to eat from the root. That root that's go down, the sprout come up. But if your roots is being eaten up, because we're not spending time with him, you're not going to stand. That's some of the enemy that we just read about the brotherhood. To stand between the fire and the enemy. And some of the neutrals are in our family. Because that's what the brother says. The one who stands between the enemy and the family. Wow. Sometimes that's really harsh. It's really hot. You don't want to say these things. But it's right there. And if you can't say him here, where are you going to say him? Ah, I mean, dealing with the family, boy. Brotherhood. Brotherhood, the company of brothers. If you push the H264 and you look back at the definition, it's the fraternity. You wonder why these frat houses and people, they form even the ladies, men that form these frat houses, these fraternities, they stick together. Now, they do a lot of crazy stuff. I don't know. I never went to college. But I see enough, I know enough about them, and I hear about them on TV, what goes on in these frat houses and movies and everything they make. They break out the real brotherhood. So this was just a little start of what, how when sticking together for him, that's the brotherhood that he's talking about. Now, so that's this is what Yosef is trying to pull out of him, because what they say, oh, we're trustworthy. Oh, you really? Really, you're trustworthy? Past sins. One of the first times we see this word, ach. But you're never going to forget that one. Because when you get some of the people, the family that come over, you never seen, they over here again? Yeah. We ain't never going to forget that one. Was in Bereshit chapter 9. This is not the first time, but this is one of the first place that we've seen it. In Bereshit, I said 9. Chapter 4, I'm sorry. And verse 9. And Yehovah said to Cain, where is Abel, your brother? Uh-oh. And he said, I do not know. Am I my brother's guard? That's the question we're going to answer tonight for ourselves. Are we our brother's guard? Are you your sister's guard? Remember, I got your back. That's how we're supposed to be here. We're not supposed to be acting like these brothers that what they've done before. Now they're trustworthy. We're going to put them to the test and really see if you're trustworthy like you say you are. And we see some turning hearts in the brothers. But Yosef don't know it. Yosef never seen it. The last thing he remembers about him, y'all threw me in the hole. I'm trying to get out of here. And it could be y'all did this to me. That's not being a brother. Kick him when he's down. He said, I do not know. Am I my brother's guard? We ought to be one another's guard here tonight. And not only here tonight, tomorrow, and the day after, and the day, you should always be your brother's guard. You know, every day of the week, when he calls, or he, if you need something going on, yes. The answer should be yes. Even your two sisters, yes. But the first time we see the word is that word ach is in verse 2 of chapter 4. And again she gave birth to his brother Abel. And Abel became a keeper of sheep, but Cain became a tiller of the ground. And also in verse 8, and Cain told Abel his brother. What did he tell him? And it came to be when they were in the field that Cain rose up against his brother and killed him. And no different than what Yosef and them that he did to Yosef. You might as well have killed him. Because all them years being away from your family, but Yah was with him. The olive tie was with him. Right. And had not been for the olive tie, he wouldn't have made it. He wouldn't even have made it out of the assassin's house. So let me tell you, this was a tough one for me this week. You know, because I got to go back and look at my life. You know, how I am toward my brothers and my sisters. Because my job is not only help their protection for them, it's to help protect you for you, for my wife, for my children. And when I look back at my past, I fail. I was no better than Yehuda who left his brothers, but had enough sense finally to repent and return. What about our master? Let's see if our master, does he offer protection? Does he offer guard for his brothers? In John chapter 10, I know y'all had that in John 10 last week. Awesome. But look at verse 27. I think y'all stopped at 18. But verse 27, does he offer that protection for us that we need? Is he being a strong wall for us? He says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. That's why we're here tonight, because we have to hear his voice. My prayer this week is, God, you know, I need help, because without you, I can't even speak on this brotherhood. This is a very tough one. And just to be a part of this, he said, I give them everlasting life. That's what he done for you and I. And they shall by no means ever perish. Ever perish. There's going to be some sheep that are going to perish. This is what he's saying. He said, but you won't perish because we hear his voice. And no one shall snatch them out of my hand. That's security right there in his hands. Well, we have to hear his voice. We have to stay within the boundary. We have to stay in the rim. Remember, I think Pastor mentioned about the bowl, about the rim of the bowl. We have to stay within that rim. You go, you get outside the boundary, we lose. He says, and my Father who has given them to me is greater than all. And no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hands. Man, that's plain enough right there. That's so much security between the Father and the Son. But we must abide in him. We have to minnow. We have to stay. So this hand, you know, in the English, I just took it upon myself just to go look at it to see what it is. And hand is G5495. Higher. And higher, of course, I had to go to my Strong's to look it up and see what it involves. It's figuratively applied to God, symbolizing his might, activity, and power. By the help or agency of anyone, by means of anyone. In creating the universe, this is talking about the Allah Ta'ala, because we're in his hand. In upholding and preserving, God is present, protecting, and aiding one. So he offers protection for us. Also in punishing, in determining and controlling the destinies of man. How do you know that Yosef's destiny was controlled by the Allah Ta'ala? And our lives, no different than he's controlled by him. Now you have your own will. You have your own will that you don't need to be in his hands. If you think you can make it without him, you go on. But I'm telling you, it's trouble. That's trouble outside. That's trouble. Look, when you're incarcerated, there's nothing you can do. I'm telling you. That night when we went in there, good. I'm so happy. The next morning when I woke up, we knew the jailer. He was a friend of ours, one of our people from up the road. He let us out and come eat breakfast. He said, look, I'm telling you, but when the pickup wagon comes, I got to put y'all back in. Okay. At least it was daylight. So let me tell you, that night, I could hear a roach walk on cotton. That's how lightly I slept. And some of y'all know, a couple of the guys in here know that, I can sleep. That night, that was a restless night, yeah. And I'm sure Yosef had a lot of restless night. Now these brothers here, they're incarcerated. They're locked up. There ain't no sleeping going on in there. Trouble when you in there, unless you, like some people today, make it their home. But for these brothers, you're not used to being in there, you ain't sleeping. I can promise you ain't sleeping. So just these few little things kind of was sticking out to me as I was going through my studies this week about past. How, you know, because they're making these comments, what they're saying, because of what we did to our brother. Yes, it really is. Because he wanted to test, because what they said, are you trustworthy? I put a little note here to myself. It says, because of our past, the enemy will always bring it back to mind. That's many times when I'm sitting there, let me tell you, because the heat is on when you're up here, because I know my past. I was no better than the brothers. I'm going to speak about me. I don't know about y'all, but I know what I've done. I know things I've said. You know, and to be here now to teach his word, man, you talk about it. It's just, you want to speak right about him for what he's done. And then we have many examples in the scripture that people, because of their history, but even though they spoke Yahweh's word, they were still targeted, especially Shaul. I ain't going to get to him tonight. I don't think, at least I don't think we will. But let's go to Psalms. And this is one of my favorite reads. Psalms 51. We're going to read a couple of them tonight, but we're going to start off with this one. This is the famous one that we pretty much all know about, the life of David, who was the king. It says, show favor to me, O Elohim, according to your loving commitment. According to the greatness of your compassion, blot out my transgressions. I mean, you know, if it wouldn't be for his compassion and his mercy toward our transgressions, they just, I think I even wrote them down. They're horrible. That's something you ever, you know, you don't even want to talk about. Transgression is H6588 Pasha. I don't have to go. And crookedness is H5771 Avon. So you can go check them out and read all the definitions, all what they're involved in. It's just, blot out my transgressions. I want to be like Yosef. Let me finish reading. I'm sorry, before I jump too fast, let me finish reading my note. Sorry about that, y'all. The enemy is always going to bring it back to mind. Unless Yehovah completely opens our head and sets a Manasseh in your life, spiritually, because what did Yosef say in Genesis 45:51? He caused me to forget the past. My father, how the stuff that he went through. Yehovah caused that. That's the only, look, you want him to blot it out? You have to let him remove all that stain, that sin that's stained behind you, because it makes you feel unworthy. It'll make you feel low. It don't make you feel like you can come up here and speak. It don't make you feel like when you go around other people, you almost feel embarrassed and ashamed. Because look, trust me, they know Spider up the road. In our brains, because of disobedience, our sins are ever before me. In Psalm 51:19. This is now I want to get to the reading. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me completely from my guilt. And cleanse me from my sin. This is stuff I was reading all past couple weeks. You know, I'd get up early and I'd spend my set apart time with him. But it's almost like you almost don't feel nothing. Or you don't hear him. Because sometimes you feel alone. We heard about alone last week. And he'll put you in that spot to make you feel. And just a little while ago, I was just driving because I walked outside today in the yard. I was grounding. I was doing some grounding. And I was just walking out there and I sat on the swing and just joined the cool air. And I was, I need your help. I don't even know how to deliver this because of past sin, past history. And this is what Yosef is dealing with because he knows his brothers. They don't know him. You don't even recognize him. Aren't you glad he knows your name? He said that last week. He knows my name. Wash me completely from my guilt and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgression and my sins is ever before me. I know this. But it's not something that we should focus and dwell on when it comes to him. Because he don't see that. We have to be under the blood that was laid out. We have to be under that covenant. That's the only way we can approach him. Against you, you alone have I sinned and done evil in your eyes. You remember your nights, your days, your weekends? We say weekends with an S today. How you know it's weekend? It's one day. It's tomorrow, Shabbat. It starts tonight. It's not weekends with an S. We took it so far that we hijacked Sunday. And you have enough on Friday night. We had to do Saturday and Sunday too. For I know my transgression, my sins are ever before me. Against you, you alone have I sinned and done evil in your eyes, that you might be proven right in your words. Be clear when you judge. See, I was brought forth in crookedness, and in sin my mother conceived me. See, you have desired truth in the inward parts. This is where this has to come. This is what is coming out from me tonight, because I know my transgression and my sin. This has to come out from my inward parts. I'm telling you, I was all week long. This really bothered me this week, this message. See, I desire truth in the inward parts. And in the hidden part, you make me know wisdom. Because I couldn't teach this without spending time with him. I want to know wisdom. Cleanse me with the hyssop, and I am clean. Wash me, and I am whiter than snow. Only he can do that. That we can preach all the messages we want, but unless you allow him in, and we stay in his hand, we have there's no other medicine. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sin and blot out all my transgressions. You know, when we was out there doing my thing, he didn't want to see all that. We're his creation. I mean, we stunk in his nostrils, the smell of what we were doing. This is how Yosef sees his brothers. You're trustworthy? Not what I remember. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sin and blot out all my crookedness. Create in me a clean heart, O Elohim, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. David was in a bind. Good thing he answered. His answer, his next word, when Nathan said, "You're the man." Good thing he said what came out of his mouth. He answered correctly. "I have sinned." He said, "I'm the one that did it." He recognized his fault on the spot. Because had not, he was a dead man. Because that's what Nathan told him. "You're not going to die." Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your set apart spirit from me. Let me tell you, this week was like I said, it's almost like almost he was in a fog almost. Because look, without his spirit, just to lead me, help me navigate through here, I was lost. Even when I was out in the world, I was lost. He'd have pulled my card, I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be here for sure. I wouldn't even know about it. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your set apart spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your deliverance, and uphold me, noble spirit. Now we know later on in the life of Yosef and his brother, when he's going to reveal himself, it's going to be so beautiful. Right now they think he's got their wheels turning in that head. Got him locked up, incarcerated for 3 days. Trust me. You start doing some thinking. When you're in a bind, you start doing some repenting quick. Let me teach. Let me teach transgressors your ways. Wow, a transgressor want to teach a transgressor the ways. Listen to these words of Dawid. Let me teach transgressors your ways so that sinners turn back to you. This is why we're here today. This is what later on, the life of Shaul, this is what Shaul done. He had such an encounter that, look, he teaching transgressors, and what they hated him for it. Because they remember what he used to do. Maybe in Bible study we'll continue this because we'll never catch up to it tonight. Deliver me, verse 14, from blood guilt, O Elohim, Elohim of my deliverance. Let my tongue sing aloud of your righteousness. Huh? Turn the mouth. That's a turn the mouth scripture right there. So your tongue can sing of his righteousness. O Yehovah, open my lips, and that my mouth declare your praise. Huh? Ain't that a turning of the mouth? I needed to hear that last week. For you do not desire slaughterings, or I will give it. You do not delight in ascending offerings. The slaughterings of Elohim are a broken spirit, a heart broken and crushed. O Elohim, these you do not despise. When we come to him and we humble ourselves, this is because when you go and look into these words, it talks about being in a humbling state, but bowing down before him. Do good, verse 18, do good in your good pleasure to Sion. Build the walls of Yerushalayim. Huh? The what? The wall. This is what we're doing. Brothers, sisters. We have to build the walls. Then you would delight in slaughterings of righteousness, in ascending offering and complete ascending offering. Then young bulls would be offered on your slaughter place. You talk about a repentant heart that we had after this encounter. But Yah, you know, Yah could have stopped it before, but he allowed it to happen and then corrected it. But yeah, hey, we've been there. I know that's one of our, probably one of our go-to verses every now and then about Dawi, but it's really a learning experience. You can learn a lot from what he done. And you know what? And never lost a battle. You know why? Because the Isle of Tob was with him. Psalms 103. Bless Yehovah, all my being, and all that is within me. Bless his set-apart name. Bless Yehovah, all my being, and forget not his dealings or his benefits. If you want, in the King James says his benefits. You know, he has a lot of benefits. That's blessings for obedience, and that's cursings for disobedience. One of the ways he's going to deal with you, with anyone and everybody. Who forgives all your crookednesses, who heals all your diseases. Look, I'm going to tell you, when I was out there, there was diseases out there, and there's still diseases today. But good thing for his mercy upon us. And he heals us all. He forgives us of these things. Who redeems your life from destruction. You know, I was on that path. Maybe you weren't. Maybe this is not for you tonight. Maybe you've always been the one in here. But I know what he done for me. Redeemed my life from destruction. Who crowns you with loving commitment and compassion. Who satisfies your desires with good. Your youth is renewed like the eagles. We need him. I need him. Yehovah is doing righteousness and right ruling for all the oppressed. And we know Yosef was oppressed. There was times in his life he was oppressed. I can imagine some days that he was thinking about his family, about his brother, what they'd done. Well, I couldn't think of what he could have done. We've all been there. He made known his ways to Moshe, his acts to the children of Israel. This is why we read about Moshe so much. And Yehovah made his ways known. And then Yeshua said, you know, if you go read about in the Torah every week, where Moshe is being read, if you want to learn, you got to go read what Moshe wrote. He said that. Yehovah is compassionate, verse 8, and showing favor, patient, and great in loving commitment. We know. He showed it to Abraham. He said, if you follow me, if you walk through, I'm going to provide it for you. I'm going to find a way. You just follow right here. Follow the red carpet. And it'll be passed on to your generation. He said, when you look up to the sky, if you can count the stars, I believe we're descendants of Abraham here today. He does not always strive, nor maintain it forever. Look, and there's some things he ain't going to put up with. Verse 10, key verse. He has not done to us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our crookednesses. Now, I don't know about you and I, about you, but that speaks volume to me when I got to that verse. Because if he did, I'm thank God for this verse. Because if he did, there'd probably be a lot of empty seats in here. So if you have to be thankful for anything, be thankful for this verse. And he don't deal with us according to our sins. Rewarded us according to our sins. We just all deserve death. That's it. That's your reward. It's bad enough when we're going to die once. But to die, when you get that double die, what we learn about that? There's no coming back. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his loving commitment toward those who fear him. Isn't that Yosef? What did Yosef say? Do this, because I fear Elohim. See this fear him? Whereas the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. His transgressions need to come up a lot. Because I've sinned a lot in the past. As a father has compassion for his children, So Yehovah has compassion for those who fear him. I have to be in awe of him. You know, when you wake up every morning and take that first breath, because that's his DNA. And he's even allowing us to breathe his air. We own nothing. We think we do, but we don't own nothing. For Yehovah knows how we are made. He remembers that we are dust. A man's days are like grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind blows over it, and it is no more. What did the brother say? We got one other brother, but he's no more. We had a brother. That's just like man. And his place no longer remembers it. But the loving commitment of Yehovah is from everlasting to everlasting. I'm so thankful for that. Amen. Upon those who fear him. We owe him our lives. And to take any minute of our lives to think that we don't need him, we've losing our minds. Our minds should honestly think of him constantly throughout the day. Our minds should be upon him. The things that when I was sitting on today on the swing, and I was out there by myself, I just closed my eye. The sun, you know, was from the west, and I'm facing that way. I just closed my eye and just, you know, and I think about, what if I was born blind? And so I closed my eyes. I could see the glare, you know, through your eyelids, but still. So I tried to listen for the sound just to hear, you know, what was out there making noise. But look, there's so many complications that we could have been born into, but I'm so thankful that we have health, for one thing. Now we have a few aches and pains, but I still give him thanks. So much to be thankful for. He remembers upon those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, not only for you and I, it's for our children and grandchildren. Because remember, because we have them, we love them to death. We need our children. They're our future. To those who guard his covenant as a condition, and to those who remember his orders to do them. And one of his orders is, hey, it's Shabbat. Remember, stop what you're doing. Put everything aside. It can wait. Come spend time. It's just that simple. The world doesn't see that. You know, me, I was telling Pop today, you know, we took a little ride to town. And I told him, I said, you know, today I didn't work today. You know, does it hurt? Look, I got 6 days that I can work. And if I don't work, you know, 4 or 5, I got 4 days in this week. But, you know, I like to work Monday through Friday. That's a pretty simple schedule. I said, but you know, there's work going on over there, Morgan City or whatever. I said, I wish a lot of it would come here, you know, but I would have to give up this up tonight. I said, I can go work 7 days. I could have been working, but it's not what he ordered. If we're going to follow his order, if I'm going to teach transgressors their way to turn sinners back to him, you got to stand upon, you got to be that strong wall. You can't be a halfway wall. You can't be a weak link in the chain, because now you lose that respect like Reuben. So we kind of were talking about that. You have to give up. The world offers a lot. We're going to see that. We're going to get to Yeshua in a minute. He'll offer you the world. But you'd have to bow to him. Then you lose out. And And once you make it easy one time, once you find the weak spot in the wall, you don't need a big sledgehammer. Just a little ting, ting, ting. Just a little bit, and you'll break through. Before you know it, you'll have a big old hole in your wall, and you wonder why you can't. The enemy just comes in and out. Yehovah has established his throne in the heavens. And he shall, and his reign shall rule over all. Boy, what a day that's going to be. Bless Yehovah, you his messengers. Now, the word right here is angels. But you know, but when you push the, you're strong, you go look at the definition, it can be those who speaking, those who teach. So don't only just think angels. But bless Yehovah, you his messengers. Tonight, I'm a messenger for him. Mighty in power, who does his word. We have to do his word. Listening to the voice of his word. We have to keep our ears attentive to him. Constantly. Because What did I read a while ago? My sheep hear my voice. Bless Yehovah, all you his hosts. Are we his hosts tonight? Do we come here to bless his name? To bless, you know that word, to bless? You have to humble down. That means it's a humbling spot. That's how you bless him. Because I'm going to tell you, when I look at my bosses or you know, people that's well off, there's really nothing you can give them. But what can you give Yehovah? But your obedience, your humbleness to him. This is what he requires of us. Bless you all his hosts, you his servants, you who do his pleasure, his likes and his dislikes. We want to do what he likes. We want to do his pleasure. Bless Yehovah all his works in all places of his rule. Bless Yehovah, O my being, at all times. You know, my soul to bless him. In our coming and our going, in the good and in the bad, in the rain and in the dry, whatever season you fall in every day of your life, bless him. Because this is what it says for us to do. Now, did our master go through any of this ridicule or backlash? Because, you know, we know who he is. Well, let's go to it. Let's read about our master. In Luke 4. Verse 9 says, you remember when he was up in the wilderness? The enemy says in verse 9, and he brought him to Jerusalem, set him high on the edge of the set apart place, and said to him, if you are the son of Elohim, throw yourself down from here. He knew who he was, but he was testing him. I just wanted to bring that scripture out because we're going to see about it here, pop up here in just a little bit. And in verse 14, let's take it from there. And Yeshua returned to the power of the Spirit to Galilee. And news of him went throughout all the surrounding country. So he started his ministry. And he was teaching in their congregations, being praised by all. Doing a good thing. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And according to his practice, he went into the congregation on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. Go imagine that. Our master on the Sabbath day. And here we are doing what our master does as his custom. Following our master. And a scroll of the prophet Yeshayahu was handed to him. And having unrolled the scroll, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of Yehovah is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring the good news to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to send away crushed ones with the release, and to proclaim the acceptable year of Yehovah. You know, that's a time coming when all these things are really going to happen. You know, he did some mighty works during his time. But can you imagine when he's going to come? Wow. And having rolled up the scroll, he gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all the congregation was fixed upon him. And he began to say to them, today this scripture has been filled in your hearings. And all were bearing witness of him and marveled at the pleasant words that came out of his mouth. And they said, is this not the son of Yosef? See? Even our master. Oh, we know who we watched him grow up. We know who he is. And he's the carpenter's son. How quickly didn't remember Deuteronomy 18:18? I mean, we say it every day. I mean, every day. Every Shabbat. We're going to say it tomorrow. And that's amazing. They didn't know, though. They just labeled him as Yosef's son. Because of the past. Because we knew who his mom and dad was. And didn't really see him as the Messiah. Let's go on. Verse 23, and he said to them, no doubt you said this proverb to me. Really? This is what he's saying. Really, man? Physician, heal yourself. Whatever we have heard being done in Capernaum, do also here in your country. He probably was going to, until you try to snub this in his face. But he's making a comment to them. But look, and they're not pleased. Because why? They know of his past. But one thing about, there's no sin in his past. That's why this story is so beautiful. And he said to them, truly I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. And just, I feel that way when I go up the road. Because I know how it is. Because, oh, you down here. You know what I hear? You know what I hear a lot? Finally, I don't even know if I should even say it sometimes. But this is what I hear constantly. Well, you think only your pastor, they stick it to my nose. Only your pastor, only one. Well, maybe he's listening. So at that time, at that moment, I got to be that wall. And I said, no, it's not just that. It's because now we finally for our time, finally for the first time in our life, we sat there and we hear what's being spoken. Then we go back and we actually search it for ourselves. We'd be a good Berean. But somebody has to hear. And he said, truly I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But truly I say to you, many widows were in Israel in the days of Eliyahu, when the heavens were shut up for 3 years and 6 months, and there was a great scarcity of food in all the land. What is Joseph? Is he dealing with the same thing? And Eliyahu was sent to none of them, but to Sephara. Let me try to make sure I try to say it. I'm trying to say it correctly. Sarephath, it's from Hebrew origin, of Sidon, to a woman, a widow. It says, and many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet, and none of them was cleansed except Naaman the Aramean. You remember that story? Naaman, go down to the river and dip. Well, we learned that a long time ago. And that was a great story. Great learning experience from that. And all those in the congregation, when they heard this, were filled with wrath. What? Why? Because he spoke to them the truth? But he stands. I'm going to tell you, he still stands for truth today. These words still stand for truth because they're his word. So I'm going to repeat his word because they still stand for truth. No matter what I hear up the road or down the road or wherever I go, I'm going to stand for truth. I'm going to be that wall with my brothers. And all those in the congregation, when they heard this, were filled with wrath. And rising up, they drove him out of the city, verse 9, and brought him to the brow of the hill on which the city was built in order to throw him down. That's that verse 9. But passing through the midst of them, went away. Verse 31. And he came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and was teaching them on the Sabbath. Right back to where he started. Sometimes we got to do that. Just go back, right back where we start. Despite of past, you know, what would drug you out before, you got to put this behind. You move on forward, and you keep doing what he asks you to do. Wow, this thing is trying to tell me something here. And they were astonished, verse 32, at his teaching. And his word was with authority. And in the congregation was a man having a spirit of an unclean demon. And he cried out with a loud voice, saying, ha! What have we to do with you, Yeshua of Nazareth? You think the enemy recognized? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the set-apart one of Elohim. Look, do they see us today? Do they know who we are? That's one of the things that, you know, I got to, you know, sometimes I think about that. Do they know who I really am today? Or do they know just from my past who I used to be? Because that's what they're going to bring up right away, every time. And Yeshua rebuked him, saying, be silent. And come out of him. And when the demon had thrown him in their midst, it came out of him without hurting him. And astonishment came on all, and they spoke to each other, saying, "What is this word that with power, that with authority and power, he commands the unclean spirit, and they come out?" And the report about him went out into every city of the neighborhood. I can tell you, the report gets out because they know. Look, I also hear the good side of it too. I don't only hear the bad side. I do hear the good side. You know, what do you teach down there? And some people is actually starting to listen and peek. I don't know if it's because of fear. There's nothing to fear when it comes to him. But I'm going to tell you, word is out. They know who we are. And rising up, verse 38, and rising up from the congregation, he went into the house of Shimon. But the mother-in-law of Shimon was sick with a severe inflammation. And they asked him concerning her. And standing over her, he rebuked the inflammation, and it left her. And instantly rising up, she served them. And when the sun was setting, all who had any who were sick with various disease brought them to him. And he laid his hands on each one of them and healed them. And also demons were coming out of many, crying out and saying, "You are the Messiah, the Son of Elohim." And rebuking them, he did not allow them to speak, for they knew that he was the Messiah. How do we know that we found the Messiah? Because we're reading what he likes. We hate what he hates. And we read about him every Torah portion, every week. We go to his Torah, we go to his word. Because, wow, we read about Yosef because he's the model of why this thy master is doing what he's doing, because of the model. So this is, let me finish it up. And when day came, he went out, proceeded to a lonely place. You know, because sometimes you need that quiet time. But the crowds were seeking him and came to him and tried to keep him from leaving them. And he said to them, "To other cities, I also have to bring the good news. The reign of Elohim, because for this I have been sent." And he was proclaiming in the congregation of Galil. Mm-hmm. You know, our master, look, he did. I love reading about him. He stood for truth. He was that strong wall for his brother. And it came to a time when he was all alone by himself. He was still standing. He was still that wall. I mean, you know, but as his brother, as it came a time, like Yosef's brother, do you see that change of heart later on when Yeshua ascends to his father? We see that wall that he left being added onto, being built, being that to where we are today. Still maintaining this wall that we have to be for one another, for our families and for our children. So I think I'm going to stop right here. Now I hope this kind of helped you out, kind of touched you, to make you go back and see about the brotherhood and sisterhood of how we need to be as a family. Because look, Passover's coming. We got to prepare. We don't want to wait till when the day before or that. We got to be preparing. Help one another. Hey, what do you need? What I got? You got something I need. We're going to have to help one another. Help set up. You know, there's so much stuff that we can do for the master, because actually it's about him. He designed it for us to enjoy, and I thank him for it. Amen.